Understand, maybe it's been a while since you've had to come in somewhere fresh. It's important that you realize when we talk about having a strong greeter ministry or being strong in our Sunday schools or wherever, we're doing this so that people can come in and have a close relationship cultivated with Christ and with fellow believers. That must be our call. That must be our purpose. And I love even earlier in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, it essentially communicates with us that Christ gives us a bond you don't have anywhere else. This is really significant to me because coming here, having been here only for a couple of years, it was wonderful for Nikki and I to come in and feel like a part of the church family. We oftentimes say it feels like we've been here longer. Now, some of you would say it does. It feels like you've been here forever. But it feels like that because you were so welcoming. In fact, we took a vacation to South Dakota this summer, and I went to the church of one of my friends who's planted the church. He couldn't be there that morning, so he asked me to preach in his place. So I literally only knew one person in the entire church. That was his wife. But it was memorable to me that walking in amongst these people that I'd never met before, that because of Christ, we had these instant conversations, an instant level of comfort, that even though I was hundreds of miles away from my church, I was able to sit down and worship with people because we had Christ in common. This is what we want to communicate to people. You're coming here, we want you to know that we have Christ in common. The big point I want you to get from today, the thing I want you to walk away with today thinking about is the importance of relationships. And what God is speaking to us is that your relationship to Christ affects all your relationships. Your relationship to Christ affects all your relationships. Let's take a look at that. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Let's just pray and ask God's blessings on this message, that he would speak to our hearts, that we would be receptive. Father, that is what we pray. We thank you for giving us your word, that we do not have to come up with the best opinions or try to figure out who's the smartest person in the room to talk. God, the only thing that speaks to us is your word and your spirit. We pray that you would speak to us clearly this morning. Where are our relationships strong? Where are they weak? And help us to see that, Lord Jesus, you are the catalyst. You are the one who gives us true strength in our relationships. And so we pray that this morning in the name of Christ. Amen. So this morning I want to show you a few relationship reminders that we see from reading through in 1 John 1:7. And the first thing you see is that distance from Christ creates distance from Christians. Look again at verse 7. It says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." So it's communicating to us that we must be close to Christ to be close to Christians. That word walk is a word that is not easy to put into English terms, but it's expressing that you keep on walking. You don't just say, well, I walked the aisle one time and said yes to Jesus, and now I'll see him in heaven. No, I walked to Jesus, maybe down an aisle, and now I walk with Jesus day by day, trying to grow closer to him in the kind of husband I am, or even the kind of son that I still am, or the father, or the employee, or whatever the case might be for you. You realize you need to keep on walking. You keep on striving. I think it's interesting. I was reading John 13 this week, and you see Jesus. Picture it. Jesus in the upper room. His disciples are all with him. They're enjoying a Last Supper together. And suddenly, Judas leaves the room, and nobody goes with him. You see these small groups inside the disciples. If Peter went somewhere, oftentimes James and John went with him. Sometimes his brother Andrew. A great book is 12 Ordinary Men by John MacArthur. If you've never read that, it gives you a wonderful picture of the disciples. You see kind of these small groups, these more intimate friendships within the larger group, but you don't see it with Judas. Because Judas lived an obvious distance. Oh, he was going to church, And he was doing ministry, but he was still, in spite of being in the same room with Christ, very far from him. And so when he leaves on a dark night, it says that some of them supposed he was going to go buy some food for the poor. Wouldn't someone help him carry that stuff? I think the other guys in the room are like, great, Judas is gone. And in fact, once Judas leaves, Jesus begins teaching some very deep and personal things because these are the men that he knew were truly committed to him. And so we see Scripture is communicating to us. We must be close to Christ in order for us to have those close relationships. That I wouldn't walk out the door to do something. Everyone's like, thank goodness Heath left. So we look at Scripture and we say, what is God calling us to? The reminder to us is this: when our commitment to Christ is weak, our commitment to the church will be weak. Our commitment to fellow Christians, not just within the context of a ministry, but in anything that they might need, will be weak. And I want you to understand, when you are not a close part of what we're doing, whether it's with Trunk or Treat, or any of the opportunities we have, children's ministry, when you are not participating, but you're feeling like you should, we miss out as a church family. We miss out on your skills. We miss out on your abilities. The Bible gives us additional relationship reminders as we look through 1 John. We continue to see here. It says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And that's important. It's just a reminder that we have fellowship, that God is communicating to us that fellowship between believers should just be a given. It should just be understood. In fact, oftentimes we talk about Hebrews chapter 10, and Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, is oftentimes communicated as the scripture that makes us mindful that we should go to church. But I want us to see it a little bit more than that. Let me see if, there we go. This morning, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, I try to keep this hidden in my pocket. See, now the magic is gone. Okay, I've been hiding this in my pocket. You didn't know how the slides were moving, and now the mystique is just over. Well, we look at Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. Look at what it says. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. Now, what is usually brought up out of that passage? It's usually that you're neglecting to meet together and you're missing the habit. What should really come out of this passage is encouragement. Let us consider how to stir up, how to encourage one another. See, that's what you miss when you miss out on a church family. This is not saying thou shalt not miss church. It's saying thou shalt be an encourager in your church, by your words, by your service. When you are gone, you are missed. So sometimes I may reach out to someone, maybe you've been out of service for a week or two, and you say, why is Pastor Heath bugging me? I just missed a couple weeks. Listen, I just want to make sure that you got a pulse. And I want to let you know that when you're not here, we miss you. Because if you're not a regular part of what we're doing, then you can't be a regular part of what we're doing. Because this, what we're doing in this room, this is not who we are. The worship service is not who we are. This is an expression of us coming together, encouraging one another. But I hope that this is firing you up to go back out and do what needs to be done within the course of our worship services, within the course of our ministries with children or Sunday school or whatever the case might be. And when you look here, this word, it says, we have fellowship with one another. Great, fun Greek word. A lot of people have heard before, koinonia. The word literally means a partnership. We have a partnership. We have community with one another. We care about what's going on. When I tell you that I'm praying for you, I am praying for you. That's not just something that I say. It's something I put on my prayer list, and so I follow up and I say, how's this situation going in your life? Because I want to know. It's important. I remember when Nikki and I moved to Memphis, we started attending our first church there. I wasn't on staff. It was the first time I was making a church decision, not based on someone hiring me. We were just looking for a place to serve. We landed in a rather large church, and one of the things that really solidified us was not the great worship experience or anything else. We went to a Sunday night service and a man wandered up to us and said, you know, you guys don't look familiar. Now, the evening service had several hundred people in it, so I'm sure it would have been easy for him to say, well, maybe they've been coming here for a while and I just don't know them. But he didn't know us, and he wanted to get to know us. He said, hey, are you guys new here? We said, yeah. He said, I teach a young couple Sunday school class. You should come. That was it for us. We went. We got to know these people in the church. So did I know all 1,000 people that went there on a Sunday morning? No, but I knew this 20 to 25 people in my Sunday school class, and those are the people that really kept me coming back. Those are the people that knew me. In fact, that man who introduced himself to us ended up watching our kids when we went in to have Lauren, and we didn't know anyone in the area. I mean, imagine being in an area and knowing no one. No one can help you in a situation like that. That came because of our relationship with Christ. And so you need to find a group. I appreciate Chris, you know, being here a short time. He's already part of my men's group and has gotten to know gentlemen in there. And so we've been praying for one another and talking about challenges, things like that. It's important that you find someone because the Bible's saying fellowship amongst Christians is just a given. It's just something that should be a part of your life. I was reading an article this week that was talking about how much the action movie genre changed in the 80s. You say, finally, we figured out what Pastor Heath does during the week between Sundays. I was reading this article, and it was interesting. They were saying there was a movie that came out, and it changed everything. Up until then, action movies were always, you know, A Team of Men or, you know, The Longest Day or any of these movies you remember from the past. But suddenly had this guy came on the scene named Rambo. And he was just one man. And he didn't need anybody because he was Rambo. And then it went on. Then all of a sudden, Arnold starts making those movies. And who needs an army when you got these two guns right here? You know, all this stuff going on. And so you have this change in the genre to where suddenly you don't need a team. All you need is you. But I'm telling you, in the church, we don't need spiritual Rambos. We don't need people saying, I don't need anybody. I can do this all by myself. And we need to understand that we are interdependent as believers. What happens in your life and in your family affects me and affects my family. If you're a part of our church, you say, no, it doesn't really. It does. I remember when my parents' marriage broke up. I was a youth pastor in my church. My father was the Sunday school teacher for my senior high boys. You don't think that that marriage breaking up and him leaving our church affected those teenage boys? I will never forget, and now I love my dad, and I'm so glad that Christ has restored our relationship, but I'll never forget a young man walking up to me and said, so all that stuff your dad taught us about, you know, loving wives one day or keeping our promises, like, does that mean anything now? You think that your relationship to Christ doesn't affect the church, you're wrong. You think that your distance from Christ won't be noticed by the church, you're wrong. You must have a close relationship with Christ. And, you know, I've struggled in having a close relationship at times. Maybe you can't tell it, but I'm an introvert. Maybe you don't know this. I had a person in my church, I'm serious, in my first pastor, my wife will tell you, I could live in the basement with the lights off, Netflix, and Pizza Hut for a month, and I'd be fine. I am not lying. And so I was in my first pastorate, and this woman walks up to me, and you know, she had a good relationship with me. This is a side note. If you have some constructive criticism for your pastor, make sure we have a friendship. Okay? And so she came up to me and she's like, boy, you sure are an introvert. Sometimes I wonder if you even like people. And I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, you're just such an introvert. I was like, I think I'm being very extroverted. And I realized I wasn't. Sometimes service was over and I was like, man, I wish these people would get out of the church so I could go home. Hey, I'm a sinner. Let's just be honest up here, okay? So I was very introverted. And sometimes I haven't been a good delegator. I'd be like, well, I'll just take care of this stuff. I don't want to inconvenience anybody. I tell you what, First Baptist, my first family here, has been a blessing to me. Because the men's group is something that before I'd been like, oh, I got men's group tonight. Man, I love getting together with these guys and praying together, talking together, learning together. So many times I bring a lesson, quote unquote, and they teach me. Because I have to realize I still need to be taught a lot of times. And coming here, delegating, you know, sometimes I've given, oh, who was it that asked me? It might have been Gail one time, maybe asked, was telling me about an event that needed to go on the church calendar. And so I said, you know, that's great. Could you go ahead and give that to the secretary? And she told me later, why didn't you just put it on the church calendar? I'm thinking, you should have just done that. And then she realized how I was trying to delegate. Now, I'm not hanging you out to dry, Gail. I'm just saying, okay. I realized later I could have just said, you know, a person in our church, I don't know, we have such a good friendship, though. I felt like we could talk about that. And now I owe you lunch. Okay, so we'll move on. You know, even mega churches, even the large churches in America have realized that relationship has to come above production. Should we do the best job we can in a worship service? Yes, we absolutely should. We should try to make sure we minimize distractions. But you're seeing more large churches are emphasizing what? Small groups and small campuses. Spread the people out, put them in different places. Why? Because they realize it's got to be about relationships. You have to know somebody. You have to have some sort of relationship. So don't be a Rambo. Stop trying to do it by yourself. Stop saying, well, I don't want to share my prayer concerns. I don't want to bother anybody. You know what? We're here to be bothered by what bothers you. If it's affecting your life, let it affect our lives. Let us pray with you. Let us pray for you. Let us care for you. Finally, we see the final relationship reminder. Don't allow your failures to break your fellowship. Look again there at verse 7. It says, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from what? All sin. Doesn't say some sin. It says all sin. It's a reminder to us that we need to watch how we react when we make a mistake. Some of you who follow us on Facebook, I hesitate to say we're Facebook friends. I've got a few Facebook friends, not in this church, but sometimes I'm like, who is that person? When did we become friends? It's like 7 years ago, I met them in Wisconsin for like 2 minutes, and now we're Facebook friends. But if you followed us, you saw my family and I went to a Missouri football game yesterday, and we had a brand new quarterback who came out, and he played pretty well. We won the game, and that's what, you know, I almost said that's what's important. Well, it was yesterday because, you know, we bought tickets, and that was what was important yesterday. But, you know, they talk about how does a quarterback move on from throwing interceptions or fumbling the ball. And they talk about, I read that there was a quarterback, super skilled guy, in fact, probably the most talented quarterback on his team, but he couldn't be the starter because when he made a mistake, he could never get over it. The backup, who was less talented, could move on. He'd throw an interception and say, well, I'm still the best quarterback I know, and I'm just going to go out there next time and not worry about it. You see, in football, we keep statistics. In the Christian life, we don't. I used to love to collect baseball cards, and I'd flip them over on the back. I can still tell you that in 1990, Don Mattingly had 101 hits. I don't know why I know that, not even a Don Mattingly or a Yankees fan, but I used to read the back of baseball cards. It would track. If you had a spiritual Christian card, and you flipped it over, and it said sins, if you were in Christ, it would say nothing. There's nothing there. There's no stat line, because amazing grace has wiped it clean. And so the Bible says he has cleansed us from some sin. You better call me on that, folks. All sin. He's cleansed us from all sin. And so when we fail and we disappear from the church, we are forgetting that Christ cleanses us from all sins. When you fail, don't fall away. Find fellowship. Find people that you know love you and can encourage you and can bring you in. I'm glad to say that my dad is an important part of a strong church today. And you know what? He's confessed. Here's how I fell away, and here's how God brought me back. I praise God for that. I absolutely praise God for that. It's that reminder that our failures don't have to mean our fellowship is broken and destroyed. And so if you know someone you've not seen around here in a while, give them a call. Check in on them. See how they're doing. Maybe they're fine. Maybe they've been on vacation to Barbados, and maybe you should tell them next time you'd love to go with them and be a prayer partner, whatever the case might be, okay? But when you're missing someone, check in. Let them know you care. Let them know we missed them. That's what I love about our church. I love the opportunity to be able to follow up. I don't ever desire to see us. And you know what? You can really pray. Maybe as we get closer one day, you know, all these things can be shared. But I don't desire to see us being a church of 1,000 one day, at least not in this spot. Let's see us be spread all over the place, spreading influence, spreading believers, spreading the gospel. It's not about putting it all in one spot on Harlem Road, but how can we get the gospel out to more people? I got dreams about that. If you want to know, I like to go out to lunch, and I usually buy. We'll just let that hang out there. That wasn't in my sermon. It's kind of hanging down. I don't know what to do with that. So listen. Here's what I want you to get. I hope you're getting this. And I appreciate Chad. You know, I'm constantly reminded of how little I really affect things. You know, when I talked to Chad, I said, hey, you know, I think this day would be a good day for you to come in and share with us about Lydia Academy. And what was I hearing out of Chad this morning? Relationships. We build these relationships with these students. And because we built relationship, we've seen success in their life. Listen, you need to be in a church. You need to build a relationship, have people that love you. Don't come to church because God said, thou shalt go to church. You come in because these relationships bind us. You know what? You all are important to us. You're important to me. You know, we left a church in Pennsylvania we loved. We still have relationships there. I still have friends that say, hey, I've got this situation going on. Will you pray for me? Or will you pray for us about this? Yes. When I left, we didn't end the relationship. The relationship continues. The bond remains because we had a bond not as church members together, but we had a bond as Christians together, a bond in Christ, a bond that cannot be broken. So listen, relationships, yes, they take work. Yes, sometimes they can be tough and they can be messy and they can be difficult, but they are made easier when, number one, you walk close with Christ. You want to be close to Christians? Be close to Christ. This is something I've had to learn in my own life. The closer I am to him, the closer I am to them. We see a need to live in this koinonia, this community, this partnership, this fellowship. Don't just walk in the door and walk out without talking to anybody. Get to know somebody. Do what our Sunday school teacher did for us and find someone you don't know, and if they say, well, I've been going to church here for 6 months, don't worry about offending them. Just be like, well, now you know me and I know you, and next time I won't come and greet you like a visitor. Let's live in that fellowship. Let's find those opportunities to love one another. And let's look around and say, where could I be a help? Where does our church need help? How can I be a part of that mission together? And listen, don't live in your former failures. Don't allow the issues that you've struggled with, don't allow the sins that have beat you up to cause you to say, fellowship is no longer important. Or, well, I guess those people don't care about me, or I guess I don't have to worry about that anymore. See, God is speaking to us clearly from his word. Look at 1 John 1:7 again. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Do you ever wish you had that kind of relationship with God, that you didn't have to worry about tomorrow or what would happen when you die, or having people that really were intimate and cared about you? Listen, that's what Christ brings. If you've never said no to sin and yes to Jesus, that's why this feels like such a pipe dream. How could people really know me and still love me? Listen, because we realize that God knows us and he still loves us. And listen, if Christ loves me, he loves you. And if you've never said yes to the love of Jesus, the Bible says you need to repent of your sin, turn from it, give your life to him, and he will give you an eternity that will last and last and last. But it's not just about eternity. It's about a new life today, making me the husband, the father, the son, the whatever that I am because Jesus came and he died for me. Let me invite the praise team to come forward. Let's enter into a time of response.